This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Definitely, now's not the time.
Touchdown, Bears! They've taken the lead on the Packers!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Knocked away by Eric Kendricks!
And Allen's got it. Not to be denied. He's still going!
On today's show, complete wild card weekend recap. Latest head coaching news, your phone calls, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, that was a weekend, huh? Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, everywhere. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Boy, are we going to have a conversation with you. We're wide open because I am sure there are five fan bases that are really pissed and five that are ecstatic. Yeah. There are two more that are on pins and needles tonight. In the Steelers and the Texans for Monday Night Football. And then there are two fan bases in Seattle and Denver saying, thank goodness we had a bye week, because this past wild card weekend, anything happened, everything happened. And I am glad to be that my team was out of that fray. And then Indiana curb stomped Oregon to start the whole thing off to set up a Miami and Indiana national championship game 1 week from tonight. So there is a ton going on in the neighborhood. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I am excellent. Yeah. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. Mike Del Tufo, DJ Mikey D.
Good morning,
Rich. Nuts. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, the candle does appear to be lit over there. How are you?
It was great to be able to relax and not have to worry about your team playing football.
Because they didn't make it.
You didn't have like all the stress. I highly recommend it for anyone.
No, you're good.
Did you go golfing?
I guess there's one way that two teams that were out of the fray, happy to not be in that fray, are happy to now have their teams back in the mix in Seattle and also in Denver. And there's tons of other fan bases that wish their teams could have actually been in the mix. As I mentioned, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
Get in, baby.
We start today's show with the fact that Wild Card Weekend comes and goes and has a Monday Night Football game still to go. And we know, as we sit here, there will be a new champion crowned in the National Football League. We will have a new Super Bowl champ. Because the San Francisco 49ers went into Philadelphia and did what Green Bay fans know they could do, what Dallas fans know they could do, which is come into your house and end your season, despite it being filled with hope and desires, except for the fact in Philadelphia, from what I heard from many fan bases, fans there in Philadelphia, there was no hope. There was no hope pretty much from the very beginning because they were all wondering what was going on with this offense, even on an opening night win against the Dallas Cowboys and then a week two win in Kansas City. There was always an undercurrent of this isn't working out. I counseled Eagles fans throughout the months of November and December to relax, to chill out, that things were going to go at least well enough that you'd make the playoffs and then you'd have a chance. And in this playoff game, the Philadelphia Eagles led throughout much of it. They led at halftime. They didn't lead after the first quarter, but pretty much quarters two and three, you were winning. You had a chance at home, except for the fact that that undercurrent of the season where the defense was going to show up and show out and ball out. Could the offense pull it together well enough? Could a switch be flipped somehow? And whose fault is it? And I'll say this, with the finger of blame coming out, in the month of January, as it always does,
Hit that bad boy, yep. TJ.
As it always does for the 18 teams that don't make the playoffs and then the six teams that get bounced in the first weekend of the playoffs, the finger of blame in Philadelphia goes all throughout that offensive room 100%. You could say it's the offensive coordinator. Kevin Petullo has been the scourge of the Philadelphia Eagles' offensive problems as far as the fans go. It's been his problem coordinating. He doesn't scheme it up very well. And you could point a finger at A.J. Brown, who dropped a ton of passes yesterday. Devontae Smith had one go off his hands. Even the great Saquon Barkley on third down dropped a pass on Jalen Hurts. You could point the finger of blame at Jalen Hurts himself. And you could point it all in the fact that it all came together in one big mosh pit called the final play of the game and the final play of the season for the Philadelphia Eagles offense. Fourth down. What play are you going to call? Well, first thing you're going to do is call timeout to talk about it, even though you might need all those timeouts to try and get the ball back for one last shot at a Hail Mary or setting up something, you know, like, say, what we saw Ole Miss had against Miami on Thursday night last week is a shot maybe from the 30-yard line, 35-yard line. But instead, they fire off a timeout. And Eagles fans, I mean, I know that that moment is when you got most nervous, not just because the season was on the line, but the three guys that you probably trusted the least on the offensive side of the ball were all putting their heads together. And then, you know, again, body language. That's all we're reading about the Philadelphia Eagles today and what was being said on the sideline, because it's a Philadelphia Eagles story about what's said on the sideline, which we'll get to in a second. It's Petullo talking it out with Hurts, who then looks at the coach who gives this. So, like, what do you think? Now, listen, they've made a statue of moments like this out in front of Philadelphia.
That's true.
Okay, Doug Peterson chopping it up with Nick Foles, right?
Yeah, and that coach got fired.
And what came out of this was whatever the opposite of the Philly special is. And, you know, you look at all the all 22 folks on the socials.
That's funny.
Talking about whatever came out. It was not the most imaginative play, and then the quarterback might have thrown it in the worst possible spot, right in the middle of the field, surrounded by the most 49ers. And then at the end of the day, they don't throw, at the very least, a 50-50 ball to A.J. Brown. So A.J. Brown, when he's targeted, didn't catch a lot of them, and or didn't catch enough to drive people crazy. And then in the last play, they dial something up, and the quarterback doesn't throw it to A.J. Brown. And at the end of the day, it's going to wind up on the coach's lap, because that's what happens in the National Football League. It winds up on the lap of Nick Sirianni about what to do. And at the end of the day, the Eagles are done. The defense did enough against the 49ers. And then the Eagles couldn't do enough on offense to overcome whatever doldrums hit this season. And it's everywhere. You're hearing it everywhere. Jalen Hurts can't do it. Jalen Hurts won't do it. Kevin Petullo can't do it. A.J. Brown won't do it. Can't do it. The offensive line, Lane Johnson didn't play yesterday. The offensive line was totally different. They couldn't go through Saquon, so they had to do something else. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's that A.J. Brown moment on the sideline with Sirianni. That's just, again, listen, after the game, do we have that soundbite? Is that the first thing that we have queued up once again, Mike Hoskins? We all know there was a moment where A.J. Brown didn't grab a pass that did hit him in the hands. And he comes off the field and Sirianni's yelling at him. This is what Sirianni said after the game, what it was about.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to get him off the field, you know, because we were about to punt, and that was really it. So I love AJ. I think he knows how I feel about him. I have a special relationship with him. We've probably went through every emotion you can possibly have together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've yelled at each other. You know, we're both emotional. I was trying to get him off the field, and, you know, you never want, you know, that happens in this game. That happens in this game, but I love him.
Yeah, I know it's called the city of brotherly love, but I don't think the folks in Philadelphia care about any of the love between them right now. and again, Sirianni knows the way it works in the NFL. When you're that demonstrative on a sideline and Fox has 90 million cameras on you to the point where they once upon a time caught the wide receiver in question reading on the sidelines, that they've got it everywhere, it's going to be interpreted as something completely different. But that's just the way this guy is. That's the way he coaches. And when you win, hey, that's a Philly thing. You know, he's just putting it on his sleeve and he's being brass just like the city. And when you lose, it's just like, can we maybe do without the drama? Can we dial it back down a little bit? But that's the way things go in Philadelphia. That's the way it works for him. Or worked last year. This year just did not. And they're done. They're out. And I have a feeling that changes are coming on the offensive side of the ball, which means, hey, Jalen Hurts, you're about to get a new offensive coordinator for the umpteenth time in your life. He was asked about his thoughts on Kevin Petullo and how everything went this season with his new OC after the game.
Can you address how things went with Kevin Petullo in your first season together? Did you grow together? Yeah. Did it get better? Did it ever stagnate?
Yeah.
And do you think it has a future?
I think I'm always growing. I'm always taking in my experiences and learning from everything that we go through. I think it's tough to single out one individual, you know, especially in a moment like this. We all got to improve. And that's how I look at everything that we go through.
Yeah, you're not going to get anything out of Jalen Hurts. It's going to be bulletin board material, or it's something like he's pissed, this, that, the other thing, and it's going to just take a fire that's already at a 10 and put it to Spinal Tap 11. Like, that's just not going to happen. Yep. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get the answers you're looking for, Philadelphia. The answers are going to come from the head coach, who's not going anywhere, nor should he. The last time, by the way, Sirianni did a self-scout after a one and done in the playoffs, they won the Super Bowl the next year. Okay? So now in their title defense, which ain't easy, it doesn't go your way. I don't know if A.J. Brown's going to be back either. And for Hurts, in terms of a new offensive coordinator, I know that's the last thing they want to do. It's the last thing that they want to do. I've got the list here. In college at Alabama, he had Lane Kiffin and Sark in 2016, and then they left. Daboll and Loxley come in, they left. Loxley actually stayed. He got promoted. Josh Gattis comes in 2018. Lincoln Riley was his guy in 2019 because he left and went to Oklahoma. Different guys every year, 4 years. Then he comes to the Eagles. It's Doug Peterson his first year. Shane Steichen, the only guy he had back-to-back years with as his offensive coordinator. Before Brian Johnson comes in, he gets the gate. They bring in Kellen Moore. They win the Super Bowl. He gets hired somewhere else, and here comes Petullo. And I think here comes another guy. So I know I told Eagles fans to relax, and their response to me would be, I told you so, Rich. This is why we didn't relax, because we knew this would happen in the playoffs. I'll be honest with you. Anything's happening in these playoffs. Anything's happening. You just take a look at the rest of this weekend, how anything could have happened. And the one thing that was not the same is everything else. I guess what's not the same? Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. That's still the same, right?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, Matthew Stafford pulling it out of his orifice at the end. The Bears doing that to the Packers again.
That's not the same, though.
No, that's not. Listen, I understand. I think changes are going to have to come in Philadelphia, as much as they don't want to do it. And the thing about the Eagles that makes things more difficult for them to realize that the offense isn't imaginative enough or something's not working is to be bounced by the San Francisco 49ers doing everything that they've done without the guys that they usually have. Kittle goes down again. My God, George Kittle, wherever you are, man, I'll send you a bottle of tequila as well. Did you hear that?
I heard he drank the whole thing.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Diana was reporting.
You know, wanted a bottle of tequila sent to the locker room after he blows out his Achilles in this game.
What a shame.
And it's just, hey, football gods, can you just stop taking people like him off the field? Can we stop this sort of thing?
For real.
He goes out, and now he's done for the rest of the campaign. And the Niners just keep on chugging. Okay, the Eagles are like, we're running it back. We got the same guys. These are the same guys, and it's no longer working for some reason, and we don't know why. We can't put the finger on it. Fans can't get an answer. And the Niners are like, okay. No Brock Purdy, we'll bring in Mac Jones. You know, Ayuk never showed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pearsall can't stay healthy. Juwan Jennings, the first month of the season, in and out of the lineup. Here comes Kendrick Bourne for 19 million yards. DeMarcus Robinson, if you had on your bingo card that he would come up with 63 of the first 76 yards on the opening drive for a touchdown, including his grab, to start the scoring in Philadelphia. Anybody have that on their bingo card? Bueller?
No.
And then, of course, in terms of imagination on offense, the Niners having a tough time against this Eagles defense, keeping Christian McCaffrey down and out of the end zone. Guy doesn't have a touchdown coming into the fourth quarter. Again, coming into the fourth quarter in this game, it's 16-10. The only touchdown the Niners have is their opening drive, DeMarcus Robinson. So what does Kyle Shanahan dial up? He dials up a dipsy-doo where it's an end-around to Sky Moore, who then flips it to another guy coming from his left to his right, and Juwan Jennings, to find Christian McCaffrey in the end zone, Willie Mays style. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going San Francisco in a way.
There you go.
A Willie Mays catch in the end zone touchdown to start the fourth quarter. That's how it started for the Niners to take the lead. And so one team's got an offensive coordinator or an offense collectively that can't do very much. And then when one team can't do very much, they got a guy's like, oh, wait till you see this play. Oh, and then McCaffrey scores again later on. Two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Kyle Shanahan after the game on that play.
It's called Sky Bang Reverse Pass. Last time we called it was called Debo Bang Reverse Pass. We ran it in New Orleans when Emmanuel threw to Raheem, kind of the same area of the field. We were trying to set it up a little bit. We got a jet sweep to Sky earlier in the game, and we had to be on the right hash for the play because Juwan's not left-handed. So we were just hoping to get it around there. Clay suggested it. It was a hell of a suggestion, and Juwan threw a perfect ball, which made me a little scared. I thought he should just throw in a bad ball and put it on him. So I thought it was a hell of a catch by Christian, and I didn't see it, but knowing that he got roughed up and stuff just shows what a G Juwan is, high school quarterback.
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, I did not know this. Do you know Juwan Jennings was a higher-rated quarterback coming out of high school than Joe Burrow?
I just saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he goes to the University of Tennessee. They're like, you're now a wide receiver.
Yep.
Oh, so they were going to set up the play later on, and then they uncork the play because they see what hash they're on because he's not left-handed, he's right-handed. Let's throw to Christian McCaffrey for a touchdown. And the other team's like, here's what we're going to do on fourth down timeout. Let's come up with this play. We're just going to go and do hardly anything that's imaginative and have our quarterback throw into quadruple coverage when the season's over. It doesn't help. I'm just pointing this all out as it doesn't help.
Yeah.
And then you've got to give it up to the San Francisco 49ers, everybody. Soup to nuts. Coming into this season, in which they've got a last-place schedule because last year went so poorly for them because Christian McCaffrey was hurt. Okay, much made, again, about coming into the season, was McCaffrey going to be anything?
Yep.
Right? Remember there was even that scare before the season where he's suddenly questionable on the injury report prior to the week one? And you're like, uh-oh, because the last time that happened, the guy wound up with two Achilles problems and hardly did a damn thing. Well, coming into the season, the Niners also had a $90 million dead cap hit because it was time for so many of their moves over the last few years, it came time to pay the credit card reaper. And so you remember the non-playing season, the off-season, as we call it, non-playing season at NFL Network? They lose Ward, Floyd, Collins, Debo, Hargrave, Hufanga, Greenlaw, Banks. Gone. See ya. And then the season starts, and Nick Bosa goes, and Fred Warner goes. Boom. Gone. See ya. Where's Ricky Pearsall throughout the season? Not around. Where's Purdy sometimes? Not around. Mac Jones is in. Okay. Where's Kittle sometimes? Not around. Hey, fans of Seattle, they know. Niners fans know, too. Folks who think that, you know, Kittle's gone, they're effed. Look up who scored the game-winning touchdown in Week 1 in Seattle, where they're going back in Week 20. Jake Tonjes. And again, Ayuk never shows. He's best known this year for speeding by the stadium rather than inside it. Got to give it up, man. Got to give it up. Kyle Shanahan, what a job he did this year. And it, again, it also helps to have Brock Purdy come back from injury, have back-to-back games with accounting for five or more touchdowns on a Monday nighter in Indianapolis and then against a Bears team, who knows, they might see again in a couple weeks. Purdy now has five career playoff wins, his fourth career game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime. Guess who that breaks a tie with? For now, the most such playoff game-winning drives in the history of the San Francisco 49ers. He now has Brock Purdy more game-winning fourth quarter and overtime drives in the playoffs than Joe Montana. That's it. Can't get any better than that. Maybe ever, let alone for the San Francisco 49ers. And this is what Shanahan had to say about his QB afterwards.
So impressed, because there were two mistakes he'd love to take back. But to play like he did on that last drive, especially after two throws like that, he was unbelievable. I mean, he kept letting it rip. The guy was not scared to fail at all, which you can't be to make some of those plays. And they weren't easy plays either. It wasn't like it was always number one or anything like that. He was going through some progressions with a really good pass rush. And I thought the touchdown to Juice Arthin was probably the most impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, McCaffrey getting his seventh career playoff game with 100 or more scrimmage yards and a touchdown, even with nothing happening through the first three quarters for him. He's tied for third most all-time in that regard. Tied with Terrell Davis, Jerry Rice, Thurman Thomas. They're all in the Hall of Fame. And you know who he's only two behind now? Franco. And three behind Emmett.
That's some good company.
And they're going to Seattle. Kudos to them. Unbelievable performance. They did it again. They did it to Dallas. They've done it to Green Bay. Now they've done it to Philadelphia. And Seattle knows it can be done to it as well, despite how well they curb stomped them a couple of Saturdays ago. Give it up. And again, like I said, a team that comes into the season cap hamstrung and then injury hamstrung, and it doesn't matter. And they're the ones who won and done a Philadelphia team that pretty much has everyone back. Everyone gets injured. It's going to be tough to swallow in Philadelphia, understandably. We're off and running here. We'll talk about Bears-Packers. Obviously, the Bills win over the Jaguars. The Patriots win is also highly impressive. The Rams pulling it out on the Panthers. We're off and running on this Monday Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more.
real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is a simulcast, everybody. Radio with TV and streaming and hello. Okay. Bears, Packers.
Oh, Bears.
Part three. After games one and two, how could this one be any better? Well.
Well. Hold on.
It started with three straight touchdowns for the Packers. Three possessions, three touchdowns. That's how it started for the Packers. And it ended with three possessions, three straight touchdowns for the Bears. That is actually how it went down. And everything else in between is a hell of a yada, yada, yada to tell. The Packers came out and hit the Bears right in the mouth, and it was dead quiet. It was a morgue in Soldier Field. And then the Packers offense went to sleep. Three straight touchdowns. Then a missed field goal by McManus, the usual suspect.
Yes.
Nice.
And then comes four straight punts for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Four straight punts, including three and outs. Now, the Bears, during that time, they didn't put up a single touchdown. They put up a field goal. They put up another field goal. And in between, an interception, because wait for it. The Bears and Ben Johnson went for it on fourth down. Ben Johnson went for it on fourth down so many times and in his own end of the field that somewhere Dan Campbell was sitting at home going, I don't even get that. I mean, Dan Campbell was blushing somewhere going, really? That's how crazy Ben Johnson was going for it on fourth down, including one on his own 32. Didn't work. Packers scored a touchdown. I mean, it was just not working. The Ben Johnson magic wasn't working, and it was a 15-point deficit this time entering the fourth quarter as opposed to the 13-point deficit in week 16. And then it happened again. I don't know what's going on. Is it it's something in the wiener circle? Is it some, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is. But there's a new one-armed man in Chicago, and his name is Caleb Williams.
It wasn't me.
Let me tell you, man, it's like Richard Kimball is sitting right there putting the phone down right next to Caleb Williams and saying, I found a big piece. Come investigate. I don't know how it keeps happening. It's seven times now, seven times that this guy comes back at the end of a game and comes out with a win for the Chicago Bears. This time around. Yes, the Packers offense kept the Bears in it, or you could say the Bears defense kept the Bears in it by shutting down the Packers offense. And the Packers offense, after Caleb got within five, scored a touchdown. Okay, this is not like, you know, the Packers did nothing the rest of the game. Matthew Golden, who hadn't scored a touchdown all season long, came out of the mist and made an incredible individual yards after the catch play for a touchdown. Perfectly timed first career touchdown for the first round draft choice.
Waiting all year for that.
And of course,
he looked amazing on that play too.
He did.
And
the usual suspect missed the extra point. So instead of it being a 12-point game, forcing the Bears to score two touchdowns, which they did anyway, it's now an 11-point game. And Caleb is running out of time. Less than 6 minutes to go. This is unbelievable. I mean, this is the stuff that Bears fans will be talking about for the rest of their days, regardless of what the Bears do the rest of the way here. 5:37 to go. 4th and 8 on their own 43. And Caleb Williams is pushed out of the pocket by a pass rush from his right to his left. He's going against the grain of his body. He leaps in the air, okay, and has his right arm in such a way that it does look like the Jordan Jumpman.
It sure did.
And he somehow, without the benefit of gravity, I just use those words, has the innate athletic prowess to be able to get enough on the football to find Rome Odunze going from his right to his left towards the sideline and finds him on the move. It's not like Odunze sitting there and is waiting for the ball to finally come down. This thing had some zip to it to the point where it gets over the defense right to Odunze as he's arriving on the spot. Caleb led Odunze to that spot from where he let go of the football. One of the greatest 4th and 8s I've ever seen, ever see, and we have to give it up to this kid for this, because if it was Mahomes, there'd have been some sort of a national holiday on the spot. I mean, Chris Collinsworth would have somehow come out of the mist in your own living room to tell you about how great that was.
He would have spontaneously combusted.
This was unreal. And that saved the day. Without that, there is no more of a comeback. There's a turnover on downs. We assume the Packers would have done enough to get far enough away where the comeback wouldn't happen. Of course, the Packers get the ball back, go down the field, have a field goal attempt, and McManus misses that one too. 7 points left on the field by the kicker. Seven. Now, it's a windy night. It's tough to kick there. The first one was a 55-yarder. I don't know. But the Chicago Bears have got it, man. And exactly what you think about this team, that they can't keep doing it. They can't keep somehow doing it. They didn't take the ball away, which is one of their hallmarks. Jordan Love had 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions. I mean, that is a stat line that wins football games, certainly in the playoffs. And as a matter of fact, here's this stat for you, that Josh Allen is the only other quarterback to lose a playoff game with 4 touchdown passes and 0 turnovers. And he did it in a game against a divisional round game against the Chiefs. And sure enough, I got to say it. He's a guy who looks like the second coming of Mahomes just did it to Love. Because this guy, he can extend a play and make throws off platform like no man other than Mahomes. Rodgers back in the day. And now he's doing it for the Bears. Unreal. And you're like, how many times can they keep doing it? And Ben Johnson's like, as many times as we keep playing, because that's us.
I mean, I think it's our identity here at this point. And some people say it's not sustainable. I don't know. You know, it's the takeaways are, you know, that's who we are on defense and, you know, on offense. It's explosive plays. That's kind of what we've done all year long and coming up in big moments. And as a team, it's just resiliency and knowing that late in the fourth quarter, that's really when we're at our best as a football team. So we'll keep striving to be better earlier in games and starting faster and all that. But you know, gives us something to work towards. But I can't be any more proud of this crew than I am right now.
Yeah. By the way, he can't talk without using the words better or best, huh? He's on brand. That guy's as on brand as they come.
I'm just glad he didn't curse in that.
Well,
in the locker room.
I think he's got a special brand of crazy.
Sure does.
And Bears fans are like, he's our brand of crazy. Might not be yours, but he's ours. And the Bears are now hosting a divisional round game against the Rams. Holy crap. By the way, the last time they've played each other, so Matthew Stafford can't quit the NFC North, nor he, him. And the last time the Rams and the Bears played in a playoff game was 1985 for the 85 Bears, who they went on to win the Super Bowl. And Bears fans are thinking, why not us? For sure. That's what happened on Saturday night. The Bears were dead to rights again. And somehow, some way, they keep on striking midnight on you. And it's Caleb Williams. He had this to say after the game, too.
It was it's the only option we had was to go out there and be legendary, to go out there and execute, to go out there and do our part on the offensive side, defensive side, and special teams. Have each other's back. Go win the effing game.
He cursed. The coach didn't have to.
Love it.
He said apparently that's what Ben Johnson said at halftime. That was his retelling of the message the team received. And he's the avatar for it. He's the avatar for it. I thought the Packers were going to win this game because the Packers had their number at halftime, and then four straight punts kept the game still alive, but they still had they were up by two more points entering the fourth quarter than they were in the game against Chicago the last time, and they scored a touchdown in between all of this. Bears coming back and still couldn't pull it out. So good luck to the Rams, and good luck. By the way, how about this? Good luck to the rest of the NFC West, because the final four in the NFC are three from the West and the Chicago freaking Bears. Those are your final four in the National Football Conference. Not the defending champs. Not the champs of the NFC South, which looked for a long time like it would be the Bucs and then turned out to be a very stout Panthers team. Not the other teams in the NFC East. It's three in the West and the Chicago Bears. Oh my God. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk about the Packers end of this. And, of course, the entirety of the AFC playoffs still to come here on The Rich Eisen Show. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Let's talk about the Packers. Packers fans are pissed today.
Yeah, they should be.
No, I get it. They want Matt LaFleur gone, many of them that I know. And, you know, coming in, it's just like, if it wasn't for the seventh seed, they'd keep missing the playoffs, and they'd get in there, and there's a problem with the Packers, et cetera, et cetera. And then they certainly won't appreciate Adam Schefter's latest report that the Packers are trying to get a long-term deal done with Matt LaFleur. He's got 1 year left on his contract. And, you know, unless you're the Cincinnati Bengals or the Dallas Cowboys, you don't go into your last year of a contract with your coach because it's difficult for that coach to coach the team up. When it's just like, why should I listen to you if things aren't going well? You're going to be gone soon. You know, why? You don't have any security here. How do I know, you know, I should listen to you. That's the general sense of why you extend somebody. Now, the fact that they've gone into contract chats with him doesn't mean he's staying. You know, these things, as you know, can fall through. If they tell him you got to make this change, that change, that change, this change for your money, and they go full Don Draper and basically say that's what the money is for, and his response might be, "Well, I'm not signing a long term deal," and we'll see how it all goes. In that regard, I will just say this to Packers fans, if I may have the temerity to address them directly. After such a brutal, difficult loss. But I think you would be you would be wondering if you made the right move if he isn't around anymore. I think you need to be careful what you wish for. And Jordan Love gave a full-throated voice of support to the coach on Saturday night. Jordan Love didn't lose this game. I know there were four punts in a row that drives Packers fans crazy. Changed the way he called us, that, the other thing. That the way the play calling screwed us up, and that's the coach's fault. He's the one whose face is in the play sheet. And I understand that. Everyone bears that responsibility. But final score, right? Was four, right? Matt LaFleur should get maybe Coach of the Year votes for not Lane Kiffening Brandon McManus in Chicago. Now, it was him who stuck with the guy, too. I'm imagining lots of fingers of blame to go around there. This was an interesting exchange with Matt LaFleur after the game about his future.
With all due respect to your question, Pete, I now's not the time for that. I mean, I'm just hurting for these guys.
After the way the season finished and a couple other playoff shortcomings, why do you think you should be back here next year?
Oh, again, Pete, I'm not gonna get into that right now.
Do you think your team has the confidence that the leadership of this organization can get them where they want to go?
Yeah. Again, with all due respect, Pete, definitely now's not the time.
Thanks, Bill.
I mean. Whatever, Bill.
When the a couple times this year.
Sorry, Bill.
That's okay.
He had this to say about wanting to stay. What about being the Packers head coach? What it means to him?
It means everything to me. I mean, this is the greatest organization in the world, in my opinion, and it's very humbling. And I'm certainly disappointed right now. I'm disappointed mostly for. Well, not mostly. I'm disappointed for everybody that's associated with the Green Bay Packers. I'm disappointed for our locker room. I'm disappointed for our fans. I'm disappointed for our leadership, just all our employees, everybody involved with the Green Bay Packers right now.
And I know it's tough for me to sit here and say what would happen if Tucker Kraft and Micah Parsons and the offensive line injuries, if they were all on the field when I started the show by saying Kyle Shanahan's done all what he's done. Without all these folks in San Francisco, I understand, but I think you'd be making a mistake by not keeping this guy. I'm not boots on the ground in Wisconsin. I'm not boots on the ground as a Packers fan, but there's a lot of love for John Harbaugh out there right now from my friends from Wisconsin.
No doubt.
All right. I will just say this. One of the reasons why LaFleur is on a hot seat, certainly with Packers fans, is weird offensive droughts mid-games, not going to the Super Bowl with your stud veteran at the end of his career in Green Bay, MVP, right, in Rodgers.
Yep.
Although, let's not forget, LaFleur took over from McCarthy, and it was all like, how's he going to get Rodgers on board? Well, two MVPs in a row, right?
True.
How's he going to transition to Love? Well, Jordan Love, I think they transitioned pretty well with him at this point in time. But not winning at all with your stud quarterbacks, not going to the Super Bowl with your stud quarterbacks, having some weird offensive droughts, things that make you scratch your head about how did we blow that game?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why John Harbaugh is available. So you'd be replacing one guy who's an incredible culture guy, an incredible coach, with another one with the same set of issues. Unless you think it's a whole new voice in the same way that it's a now time to do something different. And then you'd have to hire two new coordinators because you're getting rid of your play caller on top of it. Which you say you want to do. Great. Ask Ravens fans about John Harbaugh's choices at play caller. Again, I don't mean to denigrate. I think John Harbaugh would have been an incredible hire for anybody who hires him. But fire Matt LaFleur for him? Just again, be careful what you wish for. In Green Bay, a new set of voice, it could be great. Do you see one of the greats of our time, which John Harbaugh is, with the G on the hat? You might be very excited about that. But that comes with a lot of other changes that I don't think the Packers usually have in their DNA. Just don't think it's coming. Nor do I think it should happen. I think John Harbaugh should wind up on the sidelines of the Giants. Now that's a different story. We'll talk about that more, obviously, as the week goes on. But it's a tough loss for Green Bay. I totally understand it. But blow it all up? Not so sure about that.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.